The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Strikeforce, Dream, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, the Fan 590. Joined in studio once again by Tyler the Intern. Tyler, what's up, my man?
Not much. Glad to be here again.
Always good to have you on in studio as opposed to you and I yapping up and down the card ride from Markham to the Sportsnet studios. So great show this week for MMA Connected as we get you prepped for UFC 115, Liddell versus Franklin, going down at GM Place this Saturday night, live on pay-per-view, you know, the fastest sellout in UFC history. Some of the stuff will be online tomorrow morning. If you haven't had a chance to watch it on Sportsnet, make sure you check it out. And, of course, follow my Twitter and my Facebook. On Facebook, Showdown Joe Ferraro, as well as on Twitter, Showdown Joe. You can get Tyler's information as well. What's your Facebook and Twitter again?
Facebook is facebook.com/KingMason, and Twitter is /TylerMason.
Why is it King Mason again?
It's an old email.
There, yeah. We're going to bring you up to speed on all the latest from the world of mixed martial arts. Of course, we will, you know, run down, break down, and predict who we all think is going to win at UFC 115 later on in the show. And, of course, we'll be hearing from the founder of the MMA Expo, Gerald Chopik, who'll bring us up to speed on all the latest and greatest of the Mixed Martial Arts Expo going down this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the International Center, out in the West End there. If you haven't had a chance, if you want more information, make sure you check out mixedmartialartsexpo.com. You do not want to miss this. It's a star-studded event, and we'll be talking to Jerry a little bit later on in the show. All right, first things first, all kinds of news breaking in the mixed martial arts world. So before we get to UFC 115, where do you want to start? First things first, Fedor. Fedor has announced the fact that he has been nominated for the United Russia Party. Mm-hmm. He'll go in there as a politician, and it quickly spawned a whole bunch of media people saying, uh-oh, this guy's gone. This is one step out the door. Fedor Emelianenko is done. He's going to honor his last two fights with Strikeforce, obviously, for Bitsy Verdum coming up in a couple of weeks, and then likely against Alistair Overeem, and then he'll get into the political world. But his management has recently come out and said, no, Togwash, he'll be able to juggle both responsibilities. Do you think that's the case?
I'm not too sure about that. I know there was a Greco-Roman wrestler, Alexander Kralin.
Kralin, yep.
And I know Fedor looked up to him a lot, and once he got into politics, he kind of left wrestling. So I think there is kind of a danger that maybe Fedor will leave mixed martial arts for politics. I mean, he's pretty much done everything he can at the heavyweight division besides joining the UFC, and if he can't come to terms with them and, you know, Strikeforce doesn't have the money to keep him on, then I think there's a serious chance he might just leave the sport.
You think this is an answer to the Russian, we won't name the station, but the Russian station that did that piece on him and his brother and really made him look really bad, and they came in with the interview, allegedly came in to interview him to bring up the morale of the youth and stuff like that, and taught, you know, Fedor's a champion, and they supposedly flipped it around to make him look like a really bad person. Him and his brother, I believe Alexander, his brother, is suing the station. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if this is in part a response to what the station did, because I think the station is actually somehow, some way, I heard it might be owned by the government some way, somehow. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but something of that nature. It's one of Russia's biggest stations. But, I mean, Fedor Emelianenko going into the political realm really bodes, you know, negative for anyone that really believes this guy is eventually going to come to the UFC. It sounds to me like he's got one foot out the door, and I really hope not, because I would love to see Fedor end his career, or at least have some sort of career in the octagon, in the UFC, and fight the likes of the Brock Lesnar's and the Shane Carwins and Cain Velasquez and Frank Mir. And speaking of Frank Mir, did you hear that he wants to drop down to 205?
I did hear that.
I know Frank. I've met Frank. I've hung out with Frank. I've interviewed him. I don't know how this guy can make 205.
It's going to be difficult. I mean, before he started putting on the pounds with all the powerlifting and everything, he was weighing around 250 consistently. You know, he didn't always have the best work ethic, but I think a cut down to 205, that seems like a really large cut. I mean, most the biggest light heavyweights I can think of would be like a Forrest Griffin at like 235 or something like that. I can't see Frank at 250 or 245. He can really start shedding some pounds, getting down to 205.
Well, if he thinks his next fight is going to be at 205, it's not going to happen for a very long time, because in order to take that weight off, you need to immediately change your diet, change the way you work out, obviously. I mean, gone are pretty much the power lifts. I mean, I'm not Jonathan Chamberlain here that could probably give us the best advice on what he would recommend for a guy like Frank Mir or even Frank's strength and conditioning coach. But to get down to 205 when your average walking weight is in and around, you know, 240 or 250, that's a dangerous scenario if you ask me.
Yeah, he definitely have to lose all the weight, start going to the plyometrics, and just, you know, more, I guess, body weight techniques. But, you know, he's going to... For a person who has a lot of cardio issues in the past fights, to lose that amount of weight and to make that kind of cut, I think it's going to be really not as good for his career as Frank Mir might think it is. I mean, just to lose that weight, your cardio is in question, but also your first fight at that weight is going to be a really tough thing for your body to handle. So I don't really think this is the best move for Frank Mir. I think he should focus on maybe getting his wrestling up and, you know, just taking it back to where he was dominant, was on the ground.
But what if he can do it healthy and is able to get down to the light heavyweight class, you know, 205, 206 is the max? How would he fare in this light heavyweight division? I think he'd do great.
I think it's a really good division for someone with a ground game like Frank Mir. I mean, it's a striker heavy division, and when you can get to the ground, especially when someone who can work off their back or on top, I think it's a really good thing for a jiu-jitsu guy to do. You know, that being said, I don't know if Frank Mir can get there.
Now, remember, you got Mauricio Shogun Hua, who's arguably the most well-rounded fighter in that division. He's a champion right now in the UFC. He'd have a great fight with Frank Mir. Frank would do the best he can to try and get that fight down to the ground and make that, you know, that's where he would probably win that fight. You got your Rashad Evans, who's more wrestler-based, ground and pound, very quick, would probably look to knock out Frank Mir. Of course, you got Quentin Rampage Jackson with his power punching, and you know, Frank doesn't want to trade bombs with him. You can imagine him trying to take down Rampage Jackson and trying to work that. Frank does have some power. We saw what he did to Chet Congo. Of course, you've got Anderson Silva, a guy there that he's talked about on numerous occasions, and says, I'd love to fight Anderson Silva if he wants to come up to heavyweight. And we know Dana White said he would never let that happen unless Anderson would clear out that light heavyweight division, which would take some time anyways. But there's a fight right there that Frank would love to take. And of course, you know, Lyoto Machida, there's a speedster right there that Frank would have to deal with. So if he was to come in, I don't think they would give him one of those guys right off the bat. But, you know, what about a guy like Ryan Bader, someone of that nature, or guys that are coming up, you know, John Bones Jones.
I think John Bones Jones is a dangerous fight for anyone to take, especially if it's your first fight at that weight class.
John Bones Jones is that one guy that everyone throws out there and they take that deep breath and like, oh yeah, John Bones Jones.
He's the guy.
He's the future. Guaranteed, yeah. He's the future.
Yeah. I don't think that's a fight that Frank would want to take as his first one at the weight.
One guy, unfortunately, who does not have a future in mixed martial arts, and I shouldn't say unfortunate because, you know, he's now doing 10 years in jail, in a Moroccan jail, and that would be Lee Murray. I guess they call him the stopwatch right now. If you look at one of my articles at the Fan 590 blog or even on sportsnet.ca, I believe it was called Skewed View, where we talk about Dana White making those comments about some of the media outlets perhaps being paid off by smaller promotions to include non-UFC fighters in the rankings. At the very end, it says in closing, and I talk about Lee Murray, who was sentenced to 10 years, and I got a couple of links at the very in the very last sentence. Link number one is in, link number two is A, link number three, three-round battle. In a three-round battle, this guy took Anderson Silva the distance before Anderson Silva is and who, you know, basically who he is today. Did you ever get a chance to watch any of Lee Murray's fights?
I have seen a couple of his fights, but Lee Murray is more famous for his fighting outside the ring than he was for the inside.
Also in there, a couple of links in that very paragraph that I talk about Lee Murray, about some of the stories on a thread on one of Sherdog's forums, and some of Lee Murray's closest friends talk about what this guy was like before he became, you know, a quote-unquote a cage fighter. And this guy was your prototypical naturally born fighter that just had it in him, that just knew that, you know, hit first, don't hit second, don't counterpunch. Unfortunately, that fight with Anderson Silva, if you've never seen it, don't think it's going to be an explosive affair. But if you read some of the stuff about Lee Murray, you'll actually be blown away. And we've heard it before. I think it's the Fight Linker guys that always talk about. I think it's the Fight Linker guys that talk about they're looking forward to when this movie, the movie of Lee Murray's life, actually takes place. And if you don't know why he's doing 10 years, he was involved in, I think it was the biggest bank heist in UK history, or one of the biggest bank heists in UK history. He was the guy that was running the show allegedly with the stopwatch and making sure the guys are in and out as soon as possible. Unfortunate for Lee Murray, he made some wrong decisions, but now we'll never see him back in the cage again. Unbelievable potential. There's also the
his infamous fight Tito Ortiz.
Yeah, outside of a pub, I think it was in England when the UFC was out there one time, and there are all kinds of stories out there about Lee Murray allegedly knocking out Tito Ortiz. You know more?
Well, wasn't Tito the champion at the time when this happened?
Light heavyweight champ, I believe.
Yeah, and Lee Murray fought at 185, so it was a big deal when it happened.
And that's what people. That's how rumors were started. That's how he got signed by the UFC.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
It was in and around that time. I mean, there were so many things. That's the reason why. I mean, he was good. He was a powerful puncher. I think that one fight that I saw could have been against George Rivera, if I'm not mistaken, and just showed you this guy was just a knockout artist with great submission skills and had a bright future. But unfortunately, during a time when mixed martial arts weren't making a lot of money, I guess he chose made a wrong decision and didn't stick with the sport, and took it upon his own accord to sort of break the law, and now he's obviously paying for it because he can't make it back to the UK and stuck in a Moroccan jail, unfortunately.
Yeah, it'd be a definite movie I'd want to see, though, because all of his infamous goings-ons outside of the cage, that'd be something I'd really want to see.
And it's real-life stuff. It's not stuff that's made out of Hollywood. This is some real-life stuff that he used to do. Just picture any sort of crazy Hollywood movie with the guy that has got skills, one-punch knockout power. That was Lee Murray. It's some of these threads on Sure Dog or some of the conversation that they had there. Moving forward, Mike Russo, broken arm. He's going to be gone for quite some time. Obviously broke that arm in his fight with Todd Duffy at UFC 114. But Duffy, jumping on the Underground, talking about his performance. And in essence, he chalked it up to inexperience and not switching up his game plan.
And it's true. I went through all the fight viz that whole fight. I believe Russo broke his arm on a leg kick. A leg block in the first round there. And, I went through the whole entire fight, and I don't think Duffy went for one takedown the whole time. I think there might have been one that was stuffed, but I went through it again, and I couldn't find it. So, yeah, he didn't switch up his game plan, but I don't think he needed to. He was dominating on the feet, and he just got caught. Maybe he was a little bit tired, got caught with his hands down.
Yeah, he was winning the fight. I mean, would I have liked to have seen far more leg kicks or just switch it up a little bit? Of course, but Mike Russo's dangerous on the ground. That's the reason why maybe the takedowns shouldn't have happened, but at least some leg kicks to keep him guessing, keep him moving, keep him thinking, is he going to throw low, is he going to throw high? But the boxing, I mean, the interview I had with Todd Duffy the couple days before the fight, this guy gets it. He's such a nice kid. He's going to have a bright future in the industry. Everyone loses. We know that. Not everyone's undefeated in this sport, or eventually they're going to lose. And he proved why this guy's got all kinds of talent, and he's going to have a bright future. You win some, you lose some. That's just the bottom line.
I think part of the problem was his last fight lasted, like, what was it, 6 or 8 seconds?
Yep.
It was a knockout, so I think there's a lot of pressure on him to kind of live up to that hype that he has to knock this guy out. Maybe in the third round when you're dominating, like, really badly, not taking any damage, he was pushing himself just a little too much to get that knockout, and he left his hands down and got caught. Maybe in the future he'll learn from this, and then the third rounds of the fights he's dominating, he'll just, maybe lay back and say, I can just pick this guy apart, move away, and not necessarily put myself in too much risk.
Joe Alderte Dirksen, another victory for Alderte, which is third in like 2 days. And the guy just keeps fighting, but he won very quickly in his hometown of Winnipeg. Did a great job. So now it's upwards and onwards for Alderte moving on to the UFC for sure.
Oh, wait, I'm not sure. Is he coming back to the UFC for sure?
Yeah, the agreement was that when he came in on short notice against Tom Lawler, that they okayed him to continue fighting because he was the main event for CFC 5, I believe, Giuseppe Di Natale's show, so in Winnipeg. So he was already the main event, and to change that would have done Giuseppe Di Natale a huge disservice. So they allowed him to fight there in hopes that he wouldn't lose, because if he lost, there'd be some problems. But he went out there, stayed active. I think, Dirty, if you're listening to this radio show, you need to take some time off. I know you want to keep fighting. You're one of those guys. You've got like 3,000 fights to your record. Take some time off, ice yourself down, take a vacation, and reinvigorate yourself, and come back and have another run in the UFC's middleweight division.
I think the activity might be helping him. I think he should just roll with it, take all the fights he can.
Do not listen to Tyler.
he's running over guys like Tom Lawler and taking two fights in like a couple weeks, and then going and winning the main event in Winnipeg. I mean, maybe he's got to go with what works, but yeah, he probably should rest a little bit more this time and Then before he fights in the UFC again.
And the Jake Shields sweepstakes continue. The negotiation period is now a non-exclusive one for Strikeforce. So we'll hear more from Jake. If you want to see Jake Shields, go to the MMA Expo this weekend. He'll be there. And coming up after the break, we are going to talk to Jerry Chopik, the founder of the MMA Expo, to bring you up to speed on everything MMA Expo related. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Way more than just the score. Sports Insight. On Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Special guest in studio, Tyler the Intern, breaking down some of the headlines. And, of course, his predictions will be coming up, joining mine, regarding UFC 115, coming up after the next segment. But right now, we are joined by the founder of the Mixed Martial Arts Expo, Gerald Chopik. Jerry, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. We're crunch time here, just a couple days to go, and a lot of logistics underway.
Well, the fact that I can hear your voice means you're still alive. That's a good thing.
Still alive, a little short on sleep, but, you know, it's same thing happens every year, and no matter how much you plan in advance, there's always so many changes the week before the show, but hey, that's the show business. It's like your business, and it's always exciting.
I think you're right. I think anything in life, whether you're promoting an event, I remember when I was promoting events out in Quebec, that no matter how perfect you would run things, leading up that week before the event's going to happen, something or another is going to go wrong, and oftentimes it's more than one thing.
It's incredible. You know, I find myself every once in a while going, what the hell, where did that come from? You know, like, but you know what, that is the business, and I love it.
Absolutely, and I completely agree. All right, so Toronto International Centre, obviously a massive area that's going to have over 100 exhibit booths, and the first one that comes to mind that I think you should be paying attention to, Jerry, is the Tap Out Energy Drink booth. I think that's something you're going to be needing ahead of the MMA Expo.
Yeah. In fact, I got some with me today, and it's actually pretty good stuff. I'm not a big energy drink fan myself, but I like it, actually. But, we've got that. We've got three or four energy drink companies there, frankly, at the show, so that's good, and certainly a lot in the whole nutraceutical and nutrition space. And I can use all of that stuff at my age.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. There's also a whack of clothing lines and a whack of equipment lines that are going to be there representing. You've got Bad Boy, you've got Kimura Wear, you've got Dethrone, you've got a bunch of different organizations. This is a great place for fans to come out and buy gear.
Buy gear. I mean, everyone's there, you know, Echo and Silver Star and, you know, a lot of the local companies as well, you know, Jacked Apparel certainly and Can Fight. And, you know, there's a lot of local guys as well which have good product. And that's really part of the show. Really encourage, you know, people to spend some time, you know, talking to these exhibitors. Find out what they're all about. I mean, there's a good opportunity to build relationships with people. And, you know, and you really never know. I'm a big believer in you never know what happens until you say, you know, hello to someone.
Absolutely. And at the same time, I don't have any favorites. That's, of course, because, I mean, I've got my own sponsors to consider myself, but there is nothing better than when I open up my front door and there's a box from Echo Unlimited with all kinds of blazers and shirts and stuff like that. So lots of love to Echo.
You sent you that stuff? I got nothing.
Well, that's the difference between you and I, Jerry. Let's be honest for a second.
I got bupkis.
That's awesome. Also at the MMA Expo, demonstrations, martial arts demonstrations for the likes of Lanny Muay Thai and Crudar, who made me work the pads last time there as part of a feature we did for MMA Connected. And, of course, Extreme Couture is going to be there. So if you want to take a look to see what's out there, where you can train, or at least take a look at some of the techniques involved in mixed martial arts, MMA Expo is for you again.
Well, we got some unusual stuff, too, there, actually. I just got a video this morning from Ian Sinclair, who's with Cloud Mountain Martial Arts. It's a Tai Chi organization. So Tai Chi for MMA. So you've got to check out Tai Chi for MMA. I mean, he does some really wild stuff with what's called pushing hands. It's a very interesting scenario. He is a sort of broad-minded individual that believes, as we all should, that all martial arts have value and that they all can integrate. And if more people had his perspective, it would be a nicer planet. But you know, come down and see that and check that out. You know, Tai Chi, as he puts it, you know, most people think about Tai Chi practitioners as people sneaking up on trees. But but actually, it's really cool stuff.
Now, the other thing out there is you know, you got guys like Tyler here who won't be competing in the grappling competition, and wish he could. But there's also that we didn't talk about this last week, and there's the MMA tryouts for a pro fighter contract. It's a $2,000 package plus a fight contract. So in essence, you if you want to be a pro fighter, you haven't been signed yet, or you want to get signed with some promoter, the MMA Expo might be a good option for you to come out there and showcase your skills.
Well, you know, it starts with a day of training and seminars, and you know, even if you don't get signed to anything, it's in itself a you know, a great package, $95 for 2 days, and you know, we've got four large mats, we've got a cage in there, great instructors, and an opportunity, you know, to interact with a lot of people and just go through, whether it's stand-up, the takedowns, the striking, just the groundwork. That in itself is a blast. And yeah, and at the end, if you, you know, you get a rating and how you're doing, and which is nice from a third party. It's not your own coach or trainer or sensei, and you know, get a third party rating. And at the end, hey, you just might be the guy or gal, by the way, because frankly, I think we've got three or four gals listed this year who signed up. It's a fun time, and you just might pick up that $2,000 package and a fight contract.
Hey, Jerry, it's Tyler. I've just been looking at seminars, and it looks like you got a bunch of MMA celebrities coming out.
We've got some great guys in there. I'll tell you, you know, honestly, I wish I had the time to go in there and roll with some of these guys myself. And, of course, I'd be applying for the seniors discount. But you know, there's some you can go in and roll with. Shoni Carter was always a blast. And Viviano Fernandez, who's your, you know, our dream featherweight champion. Arlovsky, King Mo. Jake Shields, excuse me, and, you know, I mean, Jake is hot. I mean, he just totally devastated Dan Henderson in the last bout. And Faraz Zahabi, is, you know, I mean, it's not George St. Pierre, but how about George's coach? I mean, that's pretty damn cool.
Well, I mean, if anyone, I mean, I've known Faraz for a very long time, and just going out there, even when I go film stuff with George or David Loazzo or whomever's at the gym, be it TriStar, whether it's Kenny Florian or not, oftentimes I'm off to the side with one of two guys, Jonathan Chamber, the strength and conditioning guru coming out of Montreal, and of course Faraz Zahabi. And the way this guy breaks down a fight game, I mean, just having any conversation with this guy, you'll learn more about your own mixed martial arts game or the sport in general. He alone is worth the money to try and get in there. And you know, the picture is one thing, but trying to get some sort of his knowledge brought over into your mixed martial arts game is something that people really should try and get a hold of by coming out there to the expo. One of the things I'm looking at, Jerry, is we didn't talk about this last week, is the biz dev seminars for owner operators and for some of the guys that want to come out there and improve their business. What can they look forward to by some of these seminars?
Well, you know, we've got a few things happening there. One of the interesting things, one of the interesting seminars here is on the legal side of things. You know, what you need to know legally. If you're an operator in business, whether it's as a owner-operator of a training facility, or frankly in the apparel or gear side, all sorts of stuff in and around trademarks and you know, liabilities and those sorts of things, what you need to know and when you need to know it. So we've got you know, a legal team coming in that people can sit down, get some seminars from, ask some questions, you know, of them. It's no charge, you know, it's complimentary. Great information to have if you're serious about being in business.
And one of the things that we talked about last week that I'm kind of looking at again here is I'll bring up two things, one for the ladies and one for the men. So for the men, we have the 2010 MMA Expo Hottie Six-Pack. Absolutely stunning and gorgeous girls. Tyler, if you could see him in studio right now, was smiling ear to ear because he got to see some of them, if not all of them, at MMA Day. Hold on, go ahead.
I was just going to ask if you'd be able to roll with any of them.
Yeah, well, I think it's an extra fee. But they're great gals. They're a lot of fun. And they were all sort of, and I say this respectfully, hand-selected. You know, the for personality, outgoing, and just the right attitude, and you know, we're happy to have them because they are gorgeous girls, and they're also a lot of fun.
Now, so this is a forewarning to all the men out there that want to come out there and take a look at the 2010 MMA Expo Hottie Six Packs. Mm-hmm. Also available at the MMA Expo is Gladiator Jousting, which I would love to see all the ladies get in there with their boyfriends in public and straighten them out with the jousting for even looking at those women.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you want to look at the hotties after you do the gladiator jousting. Because, you know, if you're looking at the hotties first and you end up on the jousting with your lady friend, you know, it could be a challenge. But, you know, it's all about interactive and you know, whether it's rolling in seminars or, you know, or you know, participating in some of the sessions that are available in the demos, because you can get pulled into some of the demos on Muay Thai or groundwork or what have you.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
It's what it's all about, to get in there and have some fun at the show.
Yeah, Kudar wasn't very nice to me last time, Jerry. I'd like to lodge a complaint if possible.
Kudar's a tough guy, man. He's a nice guy, but he's a tough guy, man.
Well, Kudar's smart. I'll tell you why he's smart. He saw me walking around with the Sportsnet camera recording, you know, B-roll and some feature stuff, and he saw me there with my, obviously, my T-shirt, my MMA-connected T-shirt, and, of course, my jeans, right? So right away took advantage of the fact that I didn't stretch, I didn't have my Muay Thai shorts on, I didn't have any of my shorts on, obviously I had jeans on. I was like, oh, hey, Showdown, come in here and hit the pads for the camera, and he just drilled me.
Right.
can I lodge a complaint, or is it just too late?
You can lodge a complaint. It probably won't go anywhere, but you're welcome to do so.
Excellent. Speaking of complaints, we've heard mixed martial arts fans on numerous occasions talk about the refereeing and the judging in the sport from the top of the big show to the very bottom. One thing I really recommend for people that have called me, emailed me, Facebook, Twittered me about how can I become a mixed martial arts or referee, because the sport eventually is going to be sanctioned here in the province of Ontario. And I tell them, I told a bunch of guys at MMA Day, you want to get certified, you want to learn about refereeing and judging, you go to the Mixed Martial Arts Expo this weekend.
Well, you know, you find a course like you did. You know, you went to California for yours, and this is a lot cheaper in terms of no travel or what have you, but certainly a very reputable program with Mark Fennell. And, you know, he's Mark's got, I think, the better part of 1,000 matches under his belt, too. He knows what he's doing, and he's been, you know, his program's been sanctioned in a number of areas as well. A great opportunity, you know, right here in town. You know, you've had the advantage of doing this with John McCarthy's program, and you know, for people to be able to do it here without making the trek to the West Coast is amazing, and we're happy to have that on site.
Now, one problem with the MMA Expo, which I'm very disappointed of, only because of Tyler, the intern here, because he's going to be helping man the booth with Angie and Aaron Jade, you know, the two beautiful ladies. And I called Tyler. He says I called him a beast last week. That's not my problem, because when you have those two ladies running the MMA Connected booth, he's a beast. Let's be honest for a second. But the complaint that I have, Jerry, and I don't know if we can fix this, is there's going to be the video game championships, okay?
Yep.
I'm not much of a gamer. I love the games. Don't get me wrong. I think I'm just a little too old, and people say, no, you're not. You can always play video games. But the video game championships are absolutely going to be huge, and I love it. I love that fact. I respect that. But what might happen is it's going to take Tyler away from the MMA Connected booth, because he's going to want to try and enter whatever video game championships are going on. Can I rely on you to keep him from going there?
Oh yeah, we'd be happy to keep him out of any area. You know, we hear he's trouble wherever he goes. So you know, we're actually happy to hear that he couldn't compete in the Abu Dhabis, because we knew he would cause trouble over there.
So there you have it. So tell us about this video game championships, though, because this is, I mean, the whole setup is going to be borderline ridiculously awesome.
Well, it's a huge area, covers about six booths. It's got a lot of this metal truss, you know, 8 feet high, three large screens on a 3 foot stage, 10 screens around the top, and there's four or five PlayStations in addition to where sort of the champs will be playing. And Saturday is going to be the UFC Undisputed Championships, and Sunday is Street Fighter. Which is another very popular game. I'm not a gamer myself either, but it's going to be hot, and there's a lot of people, and it brings in a whole other group of people, you know, who are serious about the games that might not always come down or necessarily come down to MMA Expo, but the word is spreading through that community through Facebook real fast, and it's going to be an interesting time. I think a fast action and heavily populated area of the show.
Tyler right now is smiling ear to ear, and I think he's actually broken a sweat here. It's like he's cutting weight because he actually wants to get in there. He's moving his fingers around and already getting all agitated because he wants to get out there. But the real competition on the mats and in the ring, there's seven combat competitions: sport jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, Abu Dhabi Pro Gi, and Abu Dhabi submission fighting. Now, how can people actually get there and say, I want to watch this, I want to watch that, because there's just so much going on that, man, your head's going to be spinning.
Well, you know, you've actually touched on something that I'll share with you that I've been wrestling with myself the last couple weeks. We actually have so many great activities on here that we are getting, I wouldn't say some complaints, but I mean, honestly, we've had a number of people say, damn, you know, what am I supposed to do? Where am I? I want to be in the Abu Dhabi tournaments. I want to be in the trials. I want to be taking the celebrity seminars. You know, how do I do all of these things? And so, you know, it is a bit of a challenge, because, you know, I'd like to participate in a number of these things myself, too. But there's a lot going on. The tournaments once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I mean, it hasn't been scheduled the same tournaments, both the Gi and the No-Gi, with Abu Dhabi in the same place, the same city at the same time ever before. So that really is a wonderful opportunity. And anyone who competes, and you really don't have to be great. Listen, get in there, get on the mat, have some fun, say you did it, get the T-shirt, go home, and you got bragging rights.
There you have it, Jerry. I want to wish you the best of luck this weekend at the Toronto International Centre. And how can people find out more about the Expo?
Well, it is at mixedmartialartsexpo.com. And Joe, we're going to miss you, man.
Hey, listen, unfortunately, I can't be there. I wish I was there, but I will definitely be there in spirit. That's for sure.
Next year.
There you have it. Thank you very much, Jerry. All the best to you.
Take care.
There you have it, Gerald Chopik. We'll be back talking about UFC 115. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Share your passion for sports. Everything you talk about is on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Special guest in studio who's about to take a verbal beating is Tyler the Intern, because we're about to go head-to-head with our predictions and analysis of UFC 115, Liddell versus Franklin. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, so first things first, we'll start from the preliminary cards and work our way up to the main event. All right, here we go. Mike Pyle. 6'1", he's a welterweight, taking on Jesse Lennox at 5'9". Jesse's record is 15-2. Pyle's a bit more experienced, 18-7-1. He's kind of fought tougher guys. Now, how do you break down this fight? I mean, normally I would pick a guy like Mike Pyle. I think Jesse Lennox is going to pull off the upset here.
This is a tough fight to call. I mean, they've both fought pretty good guys. I mean, Jesse Lennox lost to Ricky Story last, who I think is one of the tougher guys in the 170 division. And Mike Pyle lost to Jake Ellenberger last, which is another really tough guy in the 170 division.
I think every UFC card should have Ellenberger and
That's one
Rick Story every UFC.
That's one fight I'm waiting for them to set up, because their last fight was amazing. Yeah. So if anyone wants to look up a really good fight, look up Ellenberger and Story, their last one. Hopefully they get a rematch going.
Who's going to win?
On this one, I'm going to have to go with Mike Pyle.
Fair enough. Ricardo Funch taking on Claude Patrick, who's from Toronto. Patrick is making his UFC welterweight debut, has a record of 11-1, and Funch has a record of 7-1. Is the Octagon jitter is going to be a part of Claude Patrick's night on Saturday night? I think so. I think it's just going to be a little bit too much for Claude. And this guy, by the way, is exceptional. If he can get over that mental block, that rookie jinx, he will come out of victorious. I just think Funch has that much more on him, and I think he's going to just eke out perhaps a split decision over Patrick.
I think you're right on this one. I think the debut is going to work against Patrick. And Funch is he's just like a guy who doesn't give up. I mean, he went the distance with Johnny Hendricks, who's steadily moving up the division. So I'm going to have to agree with you on this one and think that Funch takes it.
James Wilkes, the winner of season 9? Welterweight winner of Ultimate Fighter, I think he was with
The UK versus
UK versus the USA. He stands 6'1" against Peter Sabota, who stands 6 foot. Sabota's got a record of 8-2 as a welterweight, and of course James Wilkes is 7-3. James Wilkes, to me, dropped a bit in his last fight when he fought, I think it was Matt Brown. Wasn't overly impressed with that. I'm hoping he can rebound here and learn from that mistake. I'm still going to go with James Wilkes over Peter Sabota.
This is another tough one to call, because we haven't seen really a lot of Sabota. I'm going to have to go with Wilkes as well. I mean, he's already been fighting in the UFC, and Peter Sabota only had that loss to Paul Taylor. So
Taylor, yep.
I'm going to have to go with Wilkes as well.
And that's not a bad loss, though, because Paul Taylor is he's not a nice guy.
Oh, he's a tough dude.
Yeah, I've spent some quality, let's just call it quality time, with the likes of Paul Taylor in Las Vegas, and can tell you he's a great guy outside of the octagon. I do not ever want to trade gloves with this guy. He's a mean individual. Now, speaking of guys that I know very well, the Crow, David Luazo, flies back into the octagon, not in his hometown. He's going to GM Place in Vancouver. He stands 6'0", once highly ranked middleweight. He's got a record of 18-9. Taking on Mario Miranda, stud wrestler from Brazil with a record of 11-1. He's got 4 inches on David Luazo in terms of height. We'll see about the reach in that middleweight division. Can Luazo pull this off? I say yes.
Yeah, I think this is Luazo's comeback fight. I think this is the first step to him moving back into the ranks of the 185 in the UFC. I mean, I think he's got over that mental blockage, and I think he's doing all the right things, and this is, I think, is his comeback party.
You're going to see a lot of speed by Loazo. He's not going to take this fight for granted. I know for a fact he's been training very well. Just has, you know, Mary Moran, I'm sure, has been training very hard because he knows this is a big name that he could put on his resume. But for Loazo, this is redemption. He's going to block out all the mental stuff that's been part of his career and the criticism, and people are saying he didn't deserve to be back in the UFC. He is now back. Look for an explosive affair from David Loazo. And speaking of other Ultimate Fighter winners, Mac Danzig, I believe, seven winner?
You
know, there's a lot of Ultimate Fighters when it's to the point now where I keep forgetting who's winning.
We're at 12 now.
Yeah, okay, so Mac Danzig, lightweight, and I believe he won that at welterweight, stands 5'8", taking on Matt Wyman, 5'10". Gentleman Matt Wyman with a record of 11-5. Can Mac Danzig get the better of Matt Wyman, or is Matt Wyman going to steamroll Mac Danzig? I'm going to go with Danzig in this fight.
This could be a loser leaves the UFC fight.
Uh-oh.
They've both had a bunch of losses in the last couple of fights. I'm going to have to go with Matt Wyman on this one. I think he's going to catch Danzig on the ground, and he's going to either choke him out or submit him somehow.
Training partners, Tyson Griffin taking on Evan Dunham, Extreme Couture Vegas training partners. Tyson Griffin, a highly touted lightweight, 5'6", 155, 14-2 record, taking on Dunham, who stands 5'10". He's got at least a minimum of 4 inches in height and also reach on Tyson Griffin. He's undefeated at 10-0. Does that O go? Or is Tyson Griffin again say, you know what, I think Tyson's going to win this fight, let's be honest.
I say this is one of the two fights I'm most looking forward to on the entire card, the other being Rory McDonald and Carlos Condit. I'm probably looking forward to this one even more because the last fight that Dunham was in was extremely impressive, where he beat Efren Escudero.
Yeah,
I think it's so hard to pick against Tyson Griffin. It's just so difficult. But I'm gonna have to go with Dunham on this one. But I'm kind of torn.
The real question is, does this fight go the distance? Because Tyson Griffin always has that knock that, you know, he's not able to finish fights, and he tries really hard. You think he'll be able to finish Dunham, you just picked Dunham? I understand that, but does he have the skills to finish Dunham? Remember, these guys are training partners.
It's so hard. I think Griffin is such a tough guy to finish, and I think Dunham is so skilled on the ground. Like, I think the only way it can end is either Dunham catches him with, like, because his jiu-jitsu's gotten better every single time we've seen him. Either he catches him with submission, or Griffin, knocks him out or something. But this one's probably going to the judges.
All right, now the one fight that many of us are looking forward to: the water boy Rory McDonald, 6 foot. Welterweight, undefeated record of 10-0, taking on Carlos Condit. Remember, Rory McDonald's the hometown hero here from Kelowna, BC, taking on Condit, who stands 6'2", former WEC champion with a record of 24-5. This is a huge fight for Rory McDonald. Can he pull it off? A lot of people at Sportsnet, including our very own Bob Torrance, senior producer, thinks this fight may be too early. A lot of the guys at the MMA Connected staff are all saying the same thing. This might be a little too early for the likes of Rory McDonald. I think he can pull this off.
He could definitely pull it off. I mean, I've been watching some of his training viz, and the guy's a beast in the gym. His debut was a little bit rough. But
got rocked by Joker Gaiman.
But that's your debut, right? I mean, he could look a lot more impressive in this fight. That being said, I think this is one step a little too early for him. Carlos Condit is a stud at 170, and I think Condit's probably going to win. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a finish. It'll probably go to the judges again, but I think Condit's going to take this one.
And you are wrong. Gilbert Ivel taking on Ben Rothwell. Does this fight, I mean, look at this record. Ben Rothwell, 6'4", 265 pounds, 30-7. Gilbert Ivel, 225 pounds, 36, 14-1. This guy has 31 knockouts to his record. Gilbert Ivel and Ben Rothwell. If Rothwell cannot keep this fight on the ground, he's unable to take Ivel down to the ground, I think he'll be knockout number 32.
I mean, this is Rothwell's fight. He came in, they put a lot of promotion behind him, thinking he was going to make a splash in the heavyweight division, and he was kind of underwhelming when he fought Cain Velasquez. He really needs to put it together for this in this fight. But I think Ivel is going to be able to tag Rothwell enough to beat him up on the ground.
I think Ivel's going to come up victorious here. What about Paulo Thiago, the most unheralded, underestimated welterweight in the 170-pound class with a record of 13-1, taking on Martin Kampmann? This guy never gets easy fights. First, he gets Josh Koscheck. He has to fight John Fitch. He's got the list goes, Martin, you know, Mike Swick. Now he's got to fight Martin Kampmann. I think Jacob Volkmann was the one fight, and it actually went the distance. He finished it, didn't he?
Oh, it went the distance.
Went the distance. So now he's taking on Paulo Thiago, the Brazilian police officer, taking on Martin Kampmann, who stands 6'0" with a record of 16-3. I'm going to go with Paulo Thiago in this fight.
I completely agree with you. I mean, Kampmann's no slouch, but Paulo Thiago has only had tough fights with the top contenders. I mean, you're talking about a guy who came into the UFC, and his first fight was Josh Koscheck. And his second fight was John Finch. I mean, you want to throw tougher guys at someone. I don't think anyone's had a harder road in the UFC, and no one's come out looking better. I think Paulo Thiago is going to be able to beat Martin Kampmann. He might even beat him on the feet, but if this goes to the ground, I think that's the place that Kampmann does not want to be with a guy like Paulo Thiago.
Exactly, especially with that submission against Mike Swick that he pulled off. What was it? It wasn't a bravo choke, was it?
Yeah, it was a bravo choke.
It was a bravo choke. All right, co-main event. HD Pat Barry, 5'11", taking on Mirko Krokop, who stands 6'2", the Pride legend, with a record of 26-7-2, one no contest. Barry's record is only 5-1. He's kind of looking at Mirko Krokop as one of his idols, but I guarantee you, once that first punch lands to his face or that leg kick lands some way, somehow, I think Pat Barry's going to wake up, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people and take out Mirko Krokop.
I agree. I think this is Pat Barry. He already had kind of a coming out party with Hardunk, but I think this is his real kind of to make him a name in the heavyweight division. His big knock against him is his ground game, and that's definitely a place where I don't think Krokop's going to take him. So I think with Krokop on the tail end of his career and Pat Barry on the upswing, I think this is Pat Barry's fight.
Pat Barry threw a kick at me at UFC 113 in Montreal, but it wasn't a kick. It was just more or less, I was interviewing Matt Mitrione, and he kind of just brought his leg over softly and just to kind of push my leg through during the middle of the interview. I can't tell you what that felt like. It wasn't anything powerful, but it felt like a tree. Like, he's got thick thighs and thick calves, and it's just, it was ridiculous. So I would not want to be on the other end of a Pat Barry kick. I'll tell you that right now. We got about 40 seconds to talk about the main event. Chuck the Iceman Liddell taking on Rich Ace Franklin. Franklin 27-5, one no contest, and the Iceman's 21-7, two legendary pioneers. Is this Rich Franklin's fight to lose?
I believe so. I mean, the big issue in this isn't who's a better fighter. I think it's who wants this more. I mean, you got a guy with Chuck Liddell who's almost 40, I believe, or he is 40, who really wants to fight but just doesn't have it in him to fight as he did before. And Rich Franklin, who in the last couple of interviews, especially the one that was on MMA Connected, saying, he might be thinking about retirement here. So I don't know how much of his heart is in actual fighting. That being said, I think this is Franklin's fight to lose. I think he wins by decision. I don't think he has the power to take Chuck Liddell out. And I think he has the speed to stay away.
I think Rich Franklin does come out victorious in this fight. Tyler, thank you very much for coming back onto the Showdown.
No problem. I'll be here anytime you want me.
There you go. There you have it. Tyler, the intern. Showdown Joe, you've been listening to the Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.